Yeah. So let's get a few other things into perspective. I think the last thing that we were discussing were the different approaches to Zenen of Zelo Chaser being Patur. So basically what we need to understand, we just need to talk about a bunch of cases, some of which you've touched on others, but first of all, just to, you know, to take a step back and just to put this a little bit in perspective, since this looks like it might be our last Bava Kamma topic, at least for now, just to note that there is an interesting, I think, parallel between this topic and the topic that we began with and the topics that we've been discussing all year round. And that is, it's in a parallel opposite way, the topic of whether or not somebody who's nana and somebody who benefits or is enriched by virtue of another person, whether that is something which is a legal, chalos, actionable chiyuv or not, in a way, as I say, is the positive equivalent of what we've been discussing all year, which is mazik. In other words, the situation of mazik, as we've noted, is one in which there's no contractual and there's not even a kinyan relationship. Right? That's one of the reasons that it's so tricky. There's no tsura, no specific tsura. It's hefsid, basically, or maybe it's hezek. And we began the year by noting that there's no clear iser, maybe iser im klalim, maybe there is an iser, but the point is it's mostly relative to geneva and gezela and retzach and chabala. All this is camouflaged, and it's not a schaivus midas, of course, because there's no contractual connection between the people. There's no intent in some cases, and if there is intent, again, there's no kinyan, there's no contract. So in a way, the question is, what really, in a way, one way of looking at mazik, and particularly nizke mamon, is to say that this is, all about, chiser, basically. The de facto reality of chiser, and what impact that has. Again, maybe that's not the answer in the end, but at least that's part of the question. And what we're doing now, or the flip side of that, is the de facto impact of nana. Because, again, you have a situation where, on the surface at least, there is no contractual relationship. There may be no awareness or no das, right? It's not, it's not matan mos of milva, right? Whether it's something more obvious and concrete and implicit at least. So basically, just like you have, chiser and or hizik, and we're trying to figure out what the impact of that Lemaisa, I've diminished or depleted your resources, so am I responsible for that, or is the fact that it's kind of in a more, informal way, means that, that there's no legal obligation. So too, if I have expanded your resources, right, intentionally, unintentionally, but again, not contractually and not in a way that we normally identify. Typically this isn't, skiras poalim or mamoni gabach. That's the question. But the question is, do I perceive it that way? So I think there's a very important, and then of course the interface between zenene v'zechaser, both from a chaser point of view and from a nana point of view, is a possibly what, that this story is all about. And in a way, and just, to make it perfectly symmetrical, like our two basic, if we see the sugya in more fundamental terms, I'll sum up in a minute, but as opposed to, being something that's more extraneous, like, mechila, or hakpada, or kofar al midas tov, in a way, what we're trying to project is two perspectives. Right, and one is that the chiser, gets redefined by virtue of the nana. Right, starting from our Mishnah in Yud Tes Amud Beis, you're patur for shein v'regel b'shus harabim, but maybe you're chayiv l'shalim mashanenes, b'toras, an echo of that mazik. That's a chiser, which is redefined by, or which is reborn or revised or redeemed you know, by the Nen? Or is it exactly the opposite? Is it the idea that, you know, that there's a Nene, you know, which may be not sufficient in its own right, objectively, legally, but, you know, when it's also chiser, when it's ba'al cheshbon, you know, a nizak, or a nifsad, so then that, you know, redefines Nene. So instead of just seeing, I'm not saying this is true for all perspectives, I don't think it is, as we'll discuss. Not in Mazik and not in the Sugya of Zenene. But I think it is, you know, true for some. So in addition to everything else, meaning Zenene and Zechaser, in other words, you know, being parallel opposites, the question of their interaction, you know, when they come together and the possibility that it's either one or the other or both, again, kind of brings that full circle. Okay, that's just a ha'ara that I wanted to make just in terms of perspective. So, just to sum up what we have been doing a little bit and to expand more, one perspective, we'll start with the one extreme, is that Zen Nene Vezelo Chaser, let's say, is Potor, is for, you know, more extraneous reasons. Now, there's really, really Zen Nene Vezelo Chaser should be Chayev, you know, all things being equal. And the reason that it's potor, as I say, is more of a of an extraneous or an artificial artificial halacha. Okay, that's one possibility. Well, according to this possibility, fundamentally, you should be chayiv, as I said, because of the idea of. Mamoni Gabach, this would assume that both the mamon, you know, equivalence, and the, you know, the pronoun, the mamoni, you know, the taking credit for it, apply to a typical case of hana. Therefore, if not for some other factor that I say is more synthetic or artificial, Zen and of the Zenen of Zelachaser would be chayiv. Again, good. Yeah. Okay. The assumption here is that there is a mitzarev, and that the hana, as I say, is the equivalent of something valuable, legal, a chalos, in its own right. Of course, whatever position to then is some artificial or extraneous thing which says that you're patur, you need to explain why that doesn't apply in the case of zenene v'zeh chaser. That's once you think that there's some force, right, that overrides the chiyuv. And makes this potur, why is an enev a chaser any different? And particularly, you have to ask that question if you think that the chaser without the nene, right, is not sufficient to be mechayev you, right? And that in two, let's say, different ways. There are two indications that the chaser alone, you know, seems to be deficient. One is, if you hold, like the Bali Tosis, which we still need to discuss more, that chaser velonene is patur, right, that it's a grumma bialma, so then why does chaser change the equation when it's accompanied by a nene? And again, a parallel to this is, if you take the view that chaser is mechayev nene, right, even beyond its proportion. In other words, even a chaser purta is mechayev you for hana, you know, meruba. If that is true, then you need to explain what is it that chaser adds. Okay, so if you take the view that really you should be chayev for nene even when it is lo chaser, right, and the only reason that you're not is for artificial or extraneous reasons, then of course it's much easier to explain why chaser changes that equation. Because then what we would say is that that chaser brings the mechayev of zenene, right, hodra leduchta, back to what it would have been if not for these factors. Well, we have to identify the factors in just a second, but let's say the factor of kpeda, lack of kpeda, or mechila, or implicit mechila, or the factor of a kofin also on midas tom. Right, if you take either of those perspectives, and what you're saying about them is that really you should be chayiv, but so then the chaser addition is basically saying, well, there is kpeda, or this isn't an example of kofin osal midas tom because there's chaser, and then it will be much easier to explain, that phenomenon, even if chaser alone is not mechayiv, or even if chaser's effectiveness transcends the amount of the chaser. Okay? Is that clear enough? Okay. So having said that, so let's look at these two perspectives, with a little bit more detail. So the first one, we'll call it, we can call it 1A and 1B of the views that say Zenon and Vizelo Chaser. Patur is kind of the chiddush, or the extraneous one. The first one is that it's midin, a kind of mechila. Okay? So, or lack of kpeda. Again, that was something that, seemed indicated by Rabbeinu Yonah, although again, it's hard to know whether Rabbeinu Yonah's idea is that of mechila, really, or the mechila is a shiur, right? This is the Rabbeinu Yonah in Bava Basra. The li nirash ein tzarach lekolz that apu pishalo kifu ala megimur ruchosav v'gadar gam es harivius ein lanu lechayv alamanda merzene v'los chaser patur. I mean, you're not chayv for the other three. Dechi amrina dehechad dechaser mikzas chaveiro chayv ala kol hanim ilahechad dechaser begramas chaveiro. Right? Damrina meikara lois yavis osahana lemechila, kibin de isbe chisaro. Avozesh shalohaya zokuk ligdar sarvis lagarim mechaver lagodra lishagodach lechayvus chaver bautza also zenen evzelachaser brishona shein shniya ushlishis. Va'od kibin de begimul rishona sein achaser kvar nitnu lemechila, the revius lagodra b'sha. Okay. So I'm just pointing out that in terms of language, the Rabbeinu Yonah uses the expression, or tries to figure out that, whether the chaser, is related to mechila or not. But it's very possible that he doesn't mean it. What he really means is whether or not it's a davar shenitan lemechila, whether it's a hana hanitenes lemechila, and it could be that that is a shiur in the cheftza shel hana itself. Maybe going back to the not the perspective that everything is an extraneous ptur, right? Which is what I'm focusing on right now, but the idea that there's something, the other two perspectives, which I'll get back to in just a minute. So it should just be noted that the language of Rabbeinu Yonah maybe is the strongest lashon in the Rishonim about Mechila, but that we're not 100% sure, he uses it twice, we're not 100% sure exactly what he means by that. So Rabbeinu Yonah in Bava Basra is a key for that. It could be, again, if he does mean it, then it could be a little bit lishitaso. We recall that Rabbeinu Yonah is of the opinion that we only say zenene, right, vize lo chaser patur, in a case where there's also zenene vize lo chaser venene, right, meaning the Rav Schora B'Shem Rav Huna type understanding. So if you think that that is like a necessary ingredient for actual mechila or lack of kpeda, that that's a prerequisite, then maybe he does mean literally this line of Mechila. But to me, it sounds like the line of Isyayiv LeMechila, Hana is Shem Isyayiv LeMechila, is more sheer in the Hana, the type of Hana that it is, than the actual mechanism of Mechila. But as I say, the other way you gain, at least, in explaining the two phenomena coming together. Okay. The one who, of the Rishonim, who explicitly rejects this idea at the same time is, who rejects the idea of Mechila? Asher? Well, the Yom Shalom does reject, I think does reject it, but we get to the Rishonim already. Anybody?
The Rav
Yom. No, I don't think so. I mean, did you see the Rav Yom? I don't think so. I mean, not what he says. But the Rama. No one saw that? Like in Wogay Yosef, and the Rama here is, you know, very packed. And he has an interesting raya that at least needs to be, you know, mentioned. Anybody? Not time, you didn't see it? Wogay Yosef here, part of the Malkomos, is the one who explicitly discusses this possibility. This on Tesod Beis on the Dapei Arif. The Shamina Mehacha. This is two lines in. V'shamina mehacha, dekaima la'agra, mikri, afagav v'lo mogri la, bailan b'feirush. Okay. Ela b'chihai gavna dehacha, v'od kasav, demikan shamanu, deha de'ein tzorech lahalas l'schar b'chatzad alo kaima la'agra, meaning ze ne v'ze lo chasar patur, lav dafka begadol debar mechilahu, based on the sugya about the apadni, ela filu biyisomim dela b'nei mechila ninu. The hach elo yechayev bal ho apadna, ele mishum de karmanoi. The lav hachi dainino lekachotze de lo kaim eliagra. The tama mishum de zen nene vizelo chaser, eno toli b'mechila, da filu begavra kapdana, di adina vada de lo machil, lo yemalin lo schar. So this is the Nebuke Yosef B'Shem HaRama who explicitly rejects the idea of Mechila, maybe against the Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay. Of course, the what do you do with the Raya from Yesomim if you hold that it is Midin Mechila? And even if Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't, then it sounds a little like he might. There are certainly achronim who believe that the yisod of zen nene v'zelo chaser being patur is mechila. And if you look at the achronim, they speak about this. There's a lot in the Machne Ephraim on zen nene v'zelo chaser. So in Simin, this is in Machne Ephraim in Dine Gzela, the end of Simin Yud. He makes a case for Zenen of Zelachaser being Midin Mechila, and other achronim quote it a lot. The Mechon Ephraim always gets quoted in everything, whenever he says anything. So, what are you going to do with the Yisomim? What do you do with the Yisomim? Tzchaya? Well, so far we're not talking about Kofan al Midas Stone, but what you need to say, kind of, is that this isn't an individual act of Mechila, right? But this is kind of like it is something like Kofan al Midas Stone, but without the Kofan part, maybe. And that is that this is kind of like the accepted, like, you know, Kal Yisrael Rachmanim, you know, B'nai Rachmanim. So, again, the Kofan part is tricky, and Midas Stone, we'll get that in a second. But the Rachmanim, B'nai Rachmanim, and therefore, like, there's an implicit, you know, standard of Mechila. Okay. Mashal Amad Avar Domeh, this becomes very interesting if it's really true. Like, where do we have such a similar discussion? Yeah? Pachas Mishavar Pruta, excellent. Like, some of the Rishonim, when they talk about Pachas Mishavar Pruta, right, like Rashi, for example, in some places, in Sanhedrin, discuss this idea that, you know, Kal Yisrael Rachmanim B'nei Rachmanim, and, you know, the rest of the world are Rachazarim, and that's why we have Pachas Mishavar Pruta. But it's pretty clear that from other evidence and from other Rashis, if you look at the Rashis altogether, in Sanhedrin and Avodah Zarah, you know, when he talks about, you know, Gezel Pachas Mipruta and other issues like that, that the din of Pachas Mipruta is a din in shame mamon. So how can it be both a din in shame mamon and an expression of Mechila? Right? And again, this is to explain in Sanhedrin why it is that you know, B'nai Noach, Archaid Misa, and Gezel Afilu Pachas Mipruta. Similarly, in the Sefer HaChinuch, you seem to have Stira. Again, we talk different places about Gezela and Gezelakum and so on. Again, sometimes he uses the expression of, again, you know, B'nei Rachmanim, and Mechila, and other times he uses the idea that less than a pruta is like Chatzi Shir, or it doesn't have a Shem Mamon. There are different formulations. So, again, I think this is an example of what I call the interface of Yoredeya and Chosha Mishpat in certain things, right? It goes in both directions. Again, an example being, again, Poshea Kemazik, which we talked about a lot this year, the Rambam's view. So I think the idea is that there are certain, like, expected, like, you know, in some sense, you know, there, in theory, you know, Shavaputa didn't have to be the standard. Not for Gezel, and not for other things, and not for Ein Bezin Nizkokin, you know, etc. But, you know, because of this Midah of Rachmanus, which Klal Yisrael hopefully has, or at least is supposed to have, and to cultivate, so in turn, that became like the standard of Shemom. To me, that's much more powerful, much bigger Kiddush and a more powerful Kiddush, too. And then, of course, it's not subject, you know, to the whim. You could say, oh, this particular... I mean, again, Rambam says if a person is aksari, doesn't give tzedakah, you know, you should, you know, check his, you know, go on that, you know, that website, you know, with the genetic, you know, all these websites now, that's what they say. So, because he's not, you know, it's a siman sheino mibnei, you know, Avraham Avinu. But, you know, that aside, you know, we all know people who, you know, we'd be tempted maybe to check their website, but, you know, we're not going to say that for those people, the shiur is not Shavu Pruta, right? And Gezel, or in this Kukin, and so on and so forth. So, the answer is it became objectified, and that's a very powerful thing. So, similarly, you know, there are issues like that where there are dinim in the halacha which are kind of connected to implicit mechila, but it isn't an individual mechila. It's a, you know, it's the standard of Klal Yisrael in a way. Again, another example of this possibly is Ona. Right, there's a little bit of the discussion of the, you know, the Rambam and the Ravid. In Perek Chav Tes, Ochotz Mechira, what is it, Halacha Ches or Tes, where, I don't have it here, but, you know, we talk about Kinan Sudar and other things, and Ketanim. You have it there? You have Mechira? Yeah? Good, go ahead. No, please, be my guest. Chav Tes Ches, I think. So, Ona Lekotan is part of it. There, the Ram talks about Kinan Sudar Lekotan, and Skiras Makom and Ona, right?
Yeah. So what has both can as a katan veda in Yodea Tir Masu Matan or any Yodea Achi Yangil. Fish Yesham Katan Novo Shu Yodea Huben Sheva, Yesh Akha Shafil Huben Shoshisra, any Yodea Tir Masu Matan, Katan Yodea with Tir Masu Matan, Shemu Akhapas, Shnaso Notan Tatlin, Bitar, Dino Dinagot, Papus Mishtos Mechila, Shtos Tatzor, Onoya, Yeser Al Shtos, Pato Mecha, Moshbiya.
So the Rambam says that Pachas Mishtos, that din of Onoa applies to a Katan as well. Correct? Okay, what does the Ravid say? Again, it's part of, we usually talk about this Rambam for other reasons, because it's the Rambam about Kin and Sudar, right? Yeah, okay, that's the Kin and Sudar part. We don't need to do that. So again, this is an interesting debate between the Rambam and the Ravid. You know, if Pachas Mishtos, so again, what is the debate about? The debate is about whether or not Pachas Mishtos has anything to do with Mechila. There's kind of conflicting evidence on that. Or is the debate whether or not, you know, it's not an individual Mechila. You know, it's a a broader Mechila. Or put it this way, the Mechila ends up, or the implicit, you know, standard Mechila ends up redefining what constitutes pricing. Because that's what Shtus, again, we're not going to learn, Perakazov right now. But the idea behind Onoa is, and possibly within of Shtus, is that it's the range, you know, within the Shtus is the range of a price. It's not, you know, a tos, or it's not a gouging. That's the range. We sometimes call that range, you know, Mechila. So that's, I'm just trying to point out this, that here might be a what the Nebuki Yosef in the name of the Ramah is saying is very reasonable. He's saying you can't talk about Zenenev Zelo Chaser, you know, being Mechila if the Gemara applies it to a cotton. Moreover, you know, why don't you need to know each time the character? Again, if this, you know, guy is a very, achzari or kaptani, you know, kind of person, or let's say, you know, he's known for that, then where's the mechila? So the answer may be, you're right, and then this whole thing is wrong, and, you know, if Rabbeinu Yonah was saying that, so that's a problem that he needs to deal with, obviously, and if Machan Ephraim is saying that, they need to deal with it. What I'm suggesting is that, Matzinu, we find the phenomenon, not of individual Mechila, but of a kind of, you know, the objective circumstances from Mechila. Just like, again, Rabbeinu Yonah was talking about Nitan the Mechila, frankly. And maybe that's one of the things that he meant. He didn't mean, you know, whether you're likely Mochel in this particular case. I thought he meant even more. I think he means it's a way of characterizing the Nene and the Chaser, perhaps. But if it isn't, then the other way to look at it is that this is, you know, kind of structured in. Yeah.
There was one with Shitasim Sinajim.
The what?
The Ramah.
The Ramah.
Yeah, that there is no Mechila.
In Onoa. I'm sorry, in Onoa. In the Sugya of the. He disagrees with it. He quotes the Rashi, he doesn't like the Rashi.
Yeah.
So correct. Yeah, so that could be Lushitasa that he is always taking literally, that if something is Mechila, then Ketanim Labanei Mechila. Right, 100%. And then Sugya there, Nun Vav, I believe. Nun Vav or Nun Ches?
Nun Zayin.
One is on Nun Vav and one is on Nun Tes. There are two Rashis.
There's two Rashis and Nun Tes and then.
And where's the Ramah? I just don't remember which time. Nun Zayin.
And then I think he disagrees later.
Okay. Yeah, there are a few Ramahs actually also if you look at the. He quotes Rashi and disagrees with Rashi there. So that's a good Har. Yeah.
Okay. Meaning here it's a little bit less objectified because the guy has Mocha.
Say again?
I mean, here it seems to be a little bit less objectified than in some of those areas because. You know, if the guy is mocha here, then
we could. Well, do we know that if he's mocha, it makes a difference? What do you mean that if he's mocha? Okay, that's machlokas because we've shown it. So we're going to get to that, and we'll see what that's based on. I mean, according to Bali Tosis, that's true. That isn't true according to the Rav Yah. Maybe that's what you meant by the Rav Yah.
Yeah.
But then, again, the Rav Yah is really being covered on with that stone. That's a little bit different. So, right. I mean, I think I'm going to discuss that in a minute, but. You know, what about that, if the guy is really mocha? And again, there is also the view of the Sma and the Marshal and Yavshal Shlomo, and that is that when the guy is mocha, Meirosh, that turns the case, I'm not sure why this should be, but it's an interesting formulation, that turns it into Zenene v'zechaser. Meaning somehow that, you know, that makes it chaser. That makes it chaser de kaima, you know, le'agra. That's a different formulation than just saying, well, he's makpin. Of course, again, if you take literally, I both those things are subject to debate, frankly. So we'll get to that. But either way, if you take the perspective of Mechila, then we certainly understand why, you know, even a chaser purta, or a chaser which is, you know, far less than the nene, or even a chaser which, you know, why chaser should interact with nene, you know, in such a way, if chaser alone doesn't have the impact, let's say according to Bali Tosas, you know, the answer to all those questions is very easy, and that is that kahai gavna, there's certainly no mechila. And again, even if the mechila is objective, it's not objective when there's chaser. Even when there's chaser purta, it's not objectively then. Yeah.
To Asher's point, it seems like someone could be in the god of that and he doesn't want to be subject to the objective.
Yeah, that's also true. I mean, the default is there's a difference between katan. Right. Right. I'm saying number one, not everybody agrees. And you know, we'll get that in a second. You're 100% correct as well. Meaning, in addition, let's say there are two different levels. There are different levels here. One is, again, of course, the katan cuts both ways. You could say, well, he's mufka from mechila, and therefore he's not dragged along with the rest of Klal Yisrael, you know, in its standard. That's the opposite way to say it. What you're saying is, well, he's part of Klal Yisrael, and therefore, you know, he's there's this implicit, you know, Klal Yisrael mechila in these situations. Of course, if he wants to explicitly, you know, separate himself from that, then he could. But that doesn't mean, you know, that there isn't still a standard, you know, in the absence of action one way or another. Right. So I think that's an open question. Yeah.
Another instance of this idea could be the Ptur and Ezekiel in like context of Simcha.
The what?
Context of Simcha. Ptur and Ezekiel in context of Simcha.
Yeah.
Simcha's chasam during in a lot of those cases, I think, is
right. Right, 100%. It isn't really, it's more.
It's not like an explicit mechila that's said right before, you know, like the
although, again, it could be those things that just mafkia is Shem Mazik, too.
Right, so that also might be related to what Rebbe was saying before with regard to the Shavakuta. Maybe
right.
Like the implicit mechila in this context.
Right.
Is Megala also that
right. Right. No, I think it is a good example. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you have to be in the mechalik between like a Megala Das versus like a Mechal. Because here, isn't it? It's like clear that he's Megala Das.
And Megala Das.
Here it's clear that he's. You have to be in the mechalik. And it's clear here the guy's being Toveya. So it's clear that he's not openly being Mocha. That might still be different from a Mechal, but it's clear that he doesn't want, like, that he wasn't Mocha. Because what's the Metzias? He's being Toveya.
In which case?
In the case, if it's an end of his Ochasim, we're trying to ask him what the din is.
Right.
So clearly the case is where the guy's being Toveya. So if he's being Toveya.
Well, I'm not sure if he's being Toveya. I mean, he could be Toveya after the fact. That doesn't mean that he.
That would be a Megalodas.
Megaladas Lama Freya.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Megaladas. I mean, when we talk about Megaladas, we're talking, we'll see in a minute. That's Megaladas of the Dayar. You know, you're talking about the Megaladas of the Balabayas. Right. Could be. I'm just saying, there could be still a difference between his Gili Das after the fact and our knowing if he's Tzavak Meirosh or we just know his. I guess our three scenarios. You know, he complains. But the case of the Gemara doesn't have to be a case where he's Toveya. It also could be a case where the question simply is whether the dyer is obligated to pay. Unless he's a fine from fellow and he just wants to know, do I have to pay? Right? But either one scenario could be his Megala, Das, the Mafrei. We didn't know one way or another. You know, we thought it was the kindest, you know, most sharing, caring, you know, kind of a guy around, and now he's, you know, he's just, you know, passionate about all this. As opposed to, like, we know him in advance, this has happened in the past, or just has a reputation for being achzari. Right? That's the second case. A third case is he's a katan, so he's la b'nei mechila on an individual level, for sure, but he's not mochel. He's not moche, right? Maybe he doesn't have chalos mecha either, I don't know. So I'm saying those are different cases. I don't think it proves that, but that's important. Joey. He walks in and like, Joey. Okay. So, but unfortunately, we're having some tsroros issues. We're still caught up in, we hope we're being nana from the nana. But, but welcome. Welcome in person. Okay. So, anyway, I think it's a very important question. So we have Rabbi Yona, and what he means, we're not sure. Machne Ephraim, we have the explicit rejection of the Ramah. I like your idea about the Ramah l'shitaso. And what will we say for the Ramah, and what are some of the chilukim to be made? I think these are important things. So let's go to the second one for a moment, which we've been skirting around as well, and that is Kofin Oso Amidat Stone. Okay, like the Mechila, or lack of Kpeda perspective, right, this one also basically seems to be a more extraneous posture, you know, meaning that all things being equal, the guy who the squatter, should be the trend, he should really be paying. Meaning, from a nene point of view, and from a tziruf of that hana to its source point of view, it's mamoni gabach. That isn't the problem. The problem is that there is another din, and that's called kofenos al midasto. So, of course, here you get into a very fascinating question, and that is, what is this kofenos al midasto? And that in two senses. Number one, what is the scope of it? To what cases does it really apply? That's one question. And number two is, what is the power of it? I mean, what... is it, if it's kofin in particular, again, do we see that as being extraneous? Or maybe the reason that it's kofin is because, in some other cultural, alternative universe or other system, it might have been extraneous. But maybe what we really mean by it is that it's not. Okay? By which I mean, in other words, kofenos al midas tom, or midas tom, is just like, we'll call it a hilchos deos type halacha, right? Again, in the Mishnah, it appears as the context of deos. Of course, the Mishnah in Avos doesn't speak about the kofen part. The Gemaras speak about the kofen part. So, and it's very little amorphous in the Mishnah, too. We want to go through that. If we don't get back to it and finish it today, it's one of the things I want to finish Thursday, because I think hashkafically and halachically, but... both cases, it's very interesting just to discuss that Mishnah, the four different midos, right, of Shali and Shalach, those combinations. Do we believe in socialism? Do we believe in capitalism? Are we offended by socialism? Are we, offended by capitalism? You have it all there, like in that Mishnah, practically. The reason that you take a certain position matter? Like, are you a makbid on the shali part, or are you a makbid on the shalcha part? Which drives when there are two elements? Is it all like flowing from a certain philosophy, or you're willing to sacrifice, one for the other, or you're willing to promote one notwithstanding the other? I'll make all this clear when we get to it. But I just think it's a fascinating Mishnah, and it goes to the heart and core of Jewish values. Kol Yisrael Aredim Zeh LaZeh, and how we look at ownership. Anyways, so but for our sake right now, especially in the kofin part, what I'm saying is I think that there are two questions. One is, how far do we apply or push this idea, this concept? That's one question. And the second question is, what are, in what area are there implications? Okay. So again, let me explain what I mean by number two for a minute. If we say take the view that this is all what I call a Hilchos Deos Halacha, even though the Rambam deals with it in Hilchos Gezeila, but you know that could be telling. But if it's a Hilchos Deos Halacha, then If it's a Hilchos Deos Halacha, then it has nothing to do with bailus, you know, and value. It's despite bailus and value. Okay? Again, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, just ask. Usually people aren't shy to ask. So, that's number one. At the same time, if we were, you know, guessing, we would probably think, and I don't think this is necessarily true for everyone, which is very, makes it important, that's what I'm trying to say in a dramatic way, we would have, I think, assumed a correlation, and that is that the more this is a Hilchos Deos Halacha, the less expansive it is. And the reason for that being that, you know, it has to overcome, you know, the dinim of value and bailus. So you have the counterweight, you know, of economic rights, you know, and the integrity of ownership on the one side, you know, and weighted against that is like, you know, Kol Yisrael Areidim Zeh LaZeh, V'Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, you know, making this kind of a sacrifice. So as long as we acknowledge that counterweight, right, it's probably, one would think that it would be limiting the sacrifice, you know, or the expression of this as a midah. B'Afal Pichein, it's still pretty impressive, if you ask me. Like, what's so terrible about, you know, Shali Shali, V'Shalcha Shalcha? You know, most societies would run very well on that, you know. It would even be an ideal to embrace. Again, even in the Mishnah Avos, they're not really quite sure. Again, we have to figure out what the Mishnah Avos says it's Beinoni, and then V'Yei Shomrim that it's Midas Tov. Right, so, meaning what? It depends on your perspective, it's an argument, or there are different circumstances, but the line is just as the formulation itself tells you that there's a certain, you know, subtlety and fluidity here that's worth investigating. Okay. But on the other hand, the more we think that this spills over into property rights or value rights, right, then namely that it isn't only a Hilchos Deos Halacha. It is a you know, you could call it a, you know, Hilchos Mechira Halacha, or a Bailus Halacha, as I say, or a Value Halacha. So, if, you know, for limiting your ownership, then, or expressions of your ownership, you know, then that might be more far-reaching. Right? Because there's no counterweight, as I say, or the counterweight itself has been compromised. On the other hand, you know, just to be the devil's advocate for a moment, but I think this, you'll find this in some cases, what you might say is that this, you know, Midah Tova, which is already coming, you know, at the expense of the counterweight of bailus, right, and legitimate value, you know, the fact that it does that already shows what a powerful Midah it is. You know, it can overcome bailus and so on. It's not an indication that it doesn't exist. And therefore, maybe it's pretty far-reaching, too. Maybe we ask, you know, Klal Yisrael to sacrifice, you know, some of their economic rights in a bigger way. You know, whereas, you know, if we were, you know, contending that this really was a limit in those rights, maybe, you know, to be reasonable, we would have to be more moderate about applying it. So I don't know. I do know that there is a debate about the nature of Kofar Nosam Midas Tov, what kind of halacha it is, although most people would probably assume that it's an extraneous halacha, but I don't think you have to say that. And there certainly is a debate about the scope of this halacha. And the scope question, we'll see when we talk about the Mishnah Avos a little bit, some of the other aspects, but of course it's very relevant to our sugya. So, who is the Kofar Nosam Midas Tov person in our sugya?
Tosus brings it in. The Rav Yoch thinks it's actually applied.
Tosus does bring it in. But Tosus brings it in and says that's the basis for Zenene Vizelochasar being potter.
Your objection.
What?
Your objection does not help.
Yeah. Well, but it's not clear 100%. This is Tosus here. Which one? The top one, right? Chafu Midbeis, you have it? Oh, it's Hanis. I feel the Madam Herk Beis the Bab Basra. Kofinos Almidas Stone. Yavina Lil Achar. Yavina Chad Mitzra. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. So basically, Tosus wants to, and Tosus Babasra, right? Tosus considers Kofinoso al Midas Tom to be the basis of this halacha, but in the end of the day, Tosus rejects it, right? And the reason for that is shiny hacha shayacha lemona mitchila miladu bebeso. It doesn't say why. It just says that you could, right? Okay, and the Ravya you said is the other one, right? So the Ravya is quoted all over the place by all, especially the more Ashkenazic Makoros, meaning the Orza Ruah, Gos Ashriya, Gos Maimunios, the Mordechai. What's the view of the Ravya?
Okay.
Yeah. And if so, and what that means then is, so let's talk about the Ravya for a couple of minutes. Again, it's quoted in all the, it's also quoted in the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, the Mordechai, the Gos Ashriya, Gos Maimunios. Where do you expect that it would be? And it goes so far as to say that you cannot, this is what an answer to Asher before, this is what I was referring to, can you Meirosh refuse the guy or not? I mean, Tos assumes that if there's no kofar on the mitzvah, because surely you can do that. Where does it say you could do that? Tos says it. You can tell the guy no. Right? It's only if he already lived there, says Tosus. Now the question is Tashlumin. That's not Kofanos al Midas Tom. Therefore, it's not Midin Kofanos al Midas Tom. That's Tosus. Not a random sense Tosus that way either, but we'll get to it. The Ravya, right, is suggesting that you cannot refuse the guy. That's an amazing, that's a remarkable thing. But the guy calls you up and he says, I want to stay in your, I know you don't, benefit economically from your property. You know, you never rent it out. And the guy's not claiming that he's starting now. So there's no hefsid mamon. So I just want you to know I'm staying in your property. And the guy's screaming and yelling on the phone. According to the Ravya, it's kofinos al midas tom. Right? And the other Rishonim disagree. That's an unbelievable thing. So some of the Rishonim here, that's just an amazing argument about Kofanos Amidas Tom. Okay. Is that the argument whether, it's a limited, you don't have bailus to keep me out of your property when there's no chaser? Or you have the bailus, but it's Kofanos Amidas Tom. Hilchos Deos overrides Hilchach Mekach Omemkar, or Hilchos Toein, whatever the right place is. Or Kahigavna, there's no ownership when there's no chaser. That's a very important question, right? And again, it's exciting either way. It's exciting for the ability of midos tovos, to override, or it's exciting for the ability of midos tovos, to curb. It doesn't flow from a more limited doctrine of bailus to begin with, likely. It's, a more limited doctrine of bailus, due to the obligation to promote, v'haftal reacha kamocha, or to avoid midas tom, which, characterizes Kal Yisrael. So either way, it's inspirational, just inspirational in different ways. That's kind of what I mean. Okay. So it's interesting also that there are two formulations, probably more, but in the Rishonim here, Alatar, as to what the problem is, right? Yeah. What is the problem? So if you look at the Mordechai, also quoted by the Rama in Shin Samach Gimel, Matan Yavet. Good. Read the Rav Yoh and then read the objection to the Rav Yoh. Oh, what is that?
Essentially, since
he
does not have
chisaron,
you're allowed to do it.
Well, there's no chisaron here either, because it's chata de lokaimi la'agro. So what's he talking about?
I think he's saying that since the Baal Chatzah is not going to rent it out, then like you don't lose anything by having...
No. We're trying to explain why it's not kofen also mina stone. Right? He's rejecting the Rav Yoh.
Oh, sorry.
What's the objection to the Rav Yoh? No, you're right. I'm just being a little bit... I'm just pushing you a little to say it more... If he decided that he wanted to use... Does he have the right to use his property for income? We're not, you know, he's not such a socialist, right? You know, he has a right to... he's not even a democratic socialist, right? So that's like a new, you know, phrase that got born, I think, last week. Or maybe from before. But anyways, it's not that he doesn't have the right, you know, to gain economically from his property. There's a din that you can only live in your own property, you know, but you can't rent it out. Chalila. He doesn't choose, right, to treat his property as income. But for whatever reason, that's his choice. But the fact that he could elect to tomorrow, he could change his mind. Or he could be one of the people who do. Right? Therefore, this is not kofenos al midas stone. What does that mean? But he's still not, and he didn't choose to. Right? He's still in he's still in that part of the population that's not renting out his property. And let's assume that the reason he's not renting out his property is not because, you know, he can't abide the presence of other people in his property. That might have been an important distinction. Say, well, he can't abide the presence of people in his property, but that's even more of a reason why he doesn't want to give it away for free. Right? He doesn't want somebody living in his property. Let's assume that's not the case. He doesn't need the money. You know, he doesn't want to pay, tax, you know, on a business, you know, it's not worth his while. But he doesn't mind people per se, let's say. I'm just making up. But so what's the point? The answer is it's a shiur in what? Yeah, in other words, does Kofen Olsom, according to this view of Mordechai, Kofenos al midas stom only applies to something which objectively, right, has no chaser standard. It's not nitan l'chaser. Or it's not nitan ichpatiut. Some of the Rishonim say they don't use the word ichpatiut, but it's not nitan to, you know, to be makbid on. Right? You know, there's going to be a chaluka, you know, and you have the one person has a kpeda because he has a, like the sugya balbasra, right? He has a property on the right next door. The other person doesn't make a difference whatsoever. There's zero consequences, objectively, for him, right? It doesn't matter if state of mind or based on his proclivities. That's not a factor here. Just, you know, there objectively, there's no... significant. No, it's totally inconsequential. Not inconsequential if somebody moves into your property because maybe you want to use it for income purposes. Or frankly, maybe you don't want somebody in your property. It's probably also not so unreasonable. Right? So that's not kofenos al midas tov. You know, but if I have to give away two properties to two people and one of them, you know, benefits for bar mitzvah and the other one does not, and it makes zero difference to me, or they're, you know, it's me or him, I could take either sada with no consequences. That's kofenos al midas tov. Okay? That is a very, very significant, I would say it's I would say in light of that ha'ara, that most midas tovs, the kofenos al midas tovs anyway, are of that ilk, right? It's just even an unbelievable, just an incredible chiddush of the Rav Yah. I mean, we know what the Rav Yah is saying. Rav Yah is saying, well, for you, you know, there's no consequence because you've decided that you're not going to rent out your property. But we understand that objectively, right, that's not a neutral thing. Right? So it's just a huge expansion of kofenos al midas tov. The Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, b'shem, again, the Ra'ah, I think this time, has a different limitation, or an additional limitation, it's hard to know. And again, not so different, just it emphasizes an even more basic point. Namely, Natan, you have a line?
Yeah.
And what's he say before you read it?
He speaks about the difference between like having to share a property versus about dividing up different properties.
I don't think that's the main point. I mean, it's true, but I think there's a bigger, sharper distinction that he's emphasizing.
I think because of the sharing, there always going to be some form of, like, Isara. You're always losing out something when you have to share it, as opposed to, like, when there's no loss at all.
Okay, right. I mean, you don't... If anything having to do with somebody using your property is never kofenos al midas tov. What kofenos al midas tov has to do with is imposing limitation. When you have the right to impose limitations on somebody else in his own property, that's what I'm saying, it's a little sharper. Right? You have to read the line, if you don't
mind.
Meaning, anything having to do with my property and its use. Now, notice this is a bit different formulation. The previous formulation was, you know, how. Is this completely inconsequential, like objectively inconsequential, or this is just subjectively, let's say, inconsequential? But inconsequentiality, or lack of consequence, is a criterion for kofenoso al midas tov. This formulation is a different emphasis. Could be you need both to cover all the cases, I'm not sure. But and that is, to share my property, or to allow conduct in my property, no, that is never kofenos al midas tov. It could be it's generosity when I choose to do it, and it could be that, you know, there's no financial obligation, you know, when after the fact it was done. Okay, but that's not kofenos al midas tov. Anything having to do with my own bailus, right, is not nitan, right, to kofenos al midas tov. That's a different formulation. However, if I have rights to prevent or to preclude him from behaving freely within his own property, right, and there are ways, zenene v'zelo chaser, right, for me to be more flexible, right, then to continue to impose upon him or to prevent him, that would constitute midas tov. Okay? So these are two different emphases. And they're very, very far from what the Rav Yah thinks is acceptable. Okay. Good. There's an interesting argument here to be made, since we're at it already. So most Rishonim reject Kofen Osal Midas Stone. Again, we'll speak more about Kofen Midas Stone when I get back to the Mishnah and Avos. But you can see already that there is this interesting debate. This debate about, A, what kind of halacha is it? You know, and what effect does it? Does it limit bailus or not, etc.? Either as a mida or as a, you know, a fundamental, you know, limitation to begin with. B, how far do we go with it? Okay, according to the Rav Yah, we wonder how far you would go with it. Right. Clearly, it applies even when there's issues of objective consequence, where he could change his mind, or where other people have a kpeda, you know, that were very subjective in applying kofen osal midas stom, very expansive in kofen osal midas stom. It's certainly not limited, you know, only to governing your rights, you know, to protect yourself from his property, right? It applies even in terms of sharing and allowing a significant license in your own property. That's just an amazing argument. Okay. So there's an interesting question, number one. What about, again, Asher said before that, like, Gezadav or Pashut, you know, either way, you have to explain the right of the person to refuse, you know, Meirosh, that the person should live in his property. Correct? And that's why I already noted that we just encountered it. That's a Machlokas HaRishon. Okay, fine. But certainly the majority view is that the person has a right to refuse. But there are two interesting questions to consider. One is, how do we know that in the sugya, or do we know that from the sugya in any way? And secondly, is there an economic consequence, or is it just that he has the right to refuse? Right to refuse doesn't mean that if the guy goes ahead and he does it, that you'll pay, does it? So I want to talk about those two questions, because they're part of the sugya too, very briefly. So what do we know about that? Asher? Anything? Was there a riot from the sugya, or the Rishonim bring a riot from the sugya to this din? How do you know it, even? Or just common sense, or... Josh?
I would definitely say the Makif and Nikav discussion. But I don't know if that's
that. Why Makif and Nikav have done this?
Because if it's only true that the Nikav has to pay when he builds the fence.
So? What does that do with Meirosh making the problem? No, there's something in the Sugya. Joey? Excellent. See, Joey's being... He's very disappointed about Tzorus, and he's still jumping right into the topic. Next one. So we're going to do something about Tzorus at some point. I have Alex to worry about also, Hatars and Dar. Excellent. Do you want to just expand a little bit? We still have to talk about that hopefully next week, on Thursday also, which is in the shop. The Gemara talks about the Me'ila case. Correct? Is that what you're talking about?
I had thought the formulation.
It says what? That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying Shalomi Daito implies that if it was Keneged Daito. Oh, I thought you were saying something else. Okay. I'm taking back the credit. Okay. Once I get it to you, you get it. I hear that. That's an interesting diyuk. But there seems to be a much stronger diuk, and that is the Gemara here about Mi'ila. Asher, you have the Gemara? Very interesting anyway. I already made allusion to some of the problems with it. Right, the Gemara tries to learn from Mi'ila that what? That whether or not, you know, Zenene Vezelo Chaser is Chai V'Pater, correct? Yeah? Okay, so how does that go? Chafamid base? Omra papa, hadrabavo, la befeir shutmar, elimichal leitmar, de tanan.
That's all that I'm saying.
Oh. So what is all this? Yasub Rabavot,
right?
So what do they originally try to bring a raya? What's the raya? They're comparing the Me'ila, right, being the Isur of Me'ila, or the Chi of Me'ila, in a case where it's Zenene v'zelo chaser, correct? Yechayiv Me'ila, in that case. So if you're Chayiv Me'ila, the assumption is then you're Chayiv the Schar. Is that such a Davar Pashat? That's what I alluded to already. Yeah, what is Me'ila? Me'ila is Hana, Me'ila is Gezel. Me'ila is a special din that the Torah, demanded that you not be Nenim in a Hekdesh. Right? And if you are Nenim in a Hekdesh, then it's Motzi L'chulin or something of that sort. So what does that have to do with anything? It's a very Bim B'chudash Gemara in that respect. We'll talk hopefully a little bit more about it. But the Gemara at least thinks that this is a good comparison, all things being equal. Then the Gemara said, no, not necessarily, because Hekta Shalomidah, that's what I thought you meant, Joey, with the Das. Hekta Shalomidah is Kehedjot Midas Dami. Ah. So what does that mean? What does it mean, though? This is strange. I mean, the Hekta Shalomidah is what's Hedjot Midas? I mean, here the issue isn't so much what's Hekdesh Shalomidas. It's more Hekdesh Shalomidas, you can pretty, I mean, you know, the Rabbeinu Shalom already told you not to be Moel. Okay, so you were, it was Macha. The Rabbeinu Shalom mounted a Macha. Okay? But that's like Hedjot Midas. So, what's Hedjot Midas? Okay? So, some of the Rishonim say, a Tos Rabbeinu Peretz, what did anybody have Tos Rabbeinu Peretz? Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph? In the top, right in the top. Yeah. You have it? Go ahead.
Pirush Ventures, the Das, Hekdesh Iko, the Kasha, the Hashalomi Daito, the Hegel, Lab Dafka, Kach, Limedaito, Kemo Shalomi Daito, Mehach Sheino Mocha,
Yeah, so that's also Rabbeinu Peretz, and there are other Rishonim who follow suit. And that also leads them to conclude, because is it clear in Rashi, in Tosas rather, Tosas says here on Dibur Masva HaYisanis, right? Well, it sounds like he thinks, and therefore you'd be chayiv. Not explicit. Tosafot in Peretz is more explicit. Okay? The Hagos Ashri, and I think Hagos Mamunios and all of them, they think that you are allowed to, they disagree with the Rav Yah, they think that you're allowed to be mocha. Right? Anybody have the Gosa Shri in the name of the Orza? It's basically a quote of the Orzarua. The Orzarua quotes the Rav Yah. Right? He disagrees with his view of Kofen Oso Midas Stone. And then he says that you could be Mocha, and then the guy's not allowed to. It's not Kofen Oso Midas Stone. But do you have to pay? Go ahead.
The next one?
Yeah. On the top of the page.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay, we'll get to that. Anyway, so the point is, he doesn't think there is tashlumin, correct?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting. There are basically three shitas of the Rishonim. I mean, the Rav Yoh was of the opinion that you can't even be mochem erosh. Again, it's an unbelievable expansion of kofen, right? The Pashtus, the Bali Tosa, certainly are made of parrots. Most of the Rishonim, the Rajba and Tzadi Zion, most of the Rishonim of the opinion that, A, you can be Mocha Mirosh, that's not Kofen Osam Midas Stone. And not only that, but if you are Kofen Mirosh, then that has economic consequences too. Then you are going to be Mechayev to pay. Again, that's very fascinating because it's still Lo chaser, it's zeh nenev zeh lo chaser. Right? Okay, if you take the view that the reason that zeh nenev zeh lo chaser is potor is because of some sort of a mechila, etc., well, there's no mechila here, it's clear. Okay? But if it's not midin that, and it's not midin typically midin kofen oso, again, if it's typically midin kofen oso midas stone, but this isn't kofen oso midas stone, that's a possibility. I think that's how the Pnei Yoshua and others read the Bali Tosas. They say, no, it is Kofen Oso Midas Stom when it's Potter. It's just not Kofen Oso Al Midas Stom, you know, when it's not exactly identical, you know, with the Sugya and Baba Basra. Because that's more expansive. Okay. Otherwise, you have to explain, like, why does the Mecha Merosh, why does it help you? It's still Zen and Nevzelo Chaser, right? We'll get back to that if we take the other perspective, which I'm going to discuss more fully in a minute. But then you have the middle Shita, which is, it's not Kofenos Al Midas Stone, right? But, you know, it's also not Mechayiv Yutashlumin. Because it's Zenenev, it's a Lachasa, and makes this question even more. Obviously, it's an interesting argument within the view, you know, that it's not Kofenos Al Midas Stom, but it's still not Chaser. Okay, but it is a Nene, I'll just say what I want to say now. It's still a Nene, right, for which there is a kind of, you know, Akshave. But here the Akshave comes from what I called Akshave the other day. The Akshave here comes from the owner. Right, not from the. It comes from the chaser, not from the net, or the, not the chaser. The balabayas, because there is no chaser, not from the net. So that's an interesting argument within the camp that this is not kofed also midas tome, whether you'd still be chayiv, even though it's not. It's zen nene v'delo chaser. All right. So that's an interesting argument. You wonder if it breaks down by the people. What their view is on Gilui Das, which we'll get to in just a couple of minutes also. Okay. So, what do you do if you hold like the Rav? What do you do with this whole Kehejot Midas if you hold like the Rav Yah? Or frankly, even if you hold, you know, that there's no Chi of Tashlumin. Because again, what the Gemara is trying to deflect is the equation between Mi'ila and the Chi of Tashlumin. So it sounds in the Gemara one way or another that Hekta Shalom Midas is Kehejet Midas, so that Hejet Midas is Chayev. Right? So again, according to Tosra and Peretz and Bali Tosis and a whole group of Rishonim, that is true. But it's not true for the Rav Yoh, and it's not even true necessarily for some of the other, for the Or Zeruah and some of the other Chachmei Ashkenaz, even if they disagree with the Rav Yoh, they don't go that far. So what does it mean that Hekdei Shalom Midas is Kehejet Midas? Ah. What does it mean? So there's an alternative view in the Rishonim, which the Rajbah expresses. I think it's here on Chavala Vamed Aleph. And that is that, what does it mean? Anybody? I think that's what I gave you. What?
Meaning it takes it away from Zenon and Zenon Chaser.
But what? Okay, good, but.
Right?
Yes.
Meaning it makes it about Kehedro Midas, meaning this is the illegal. You did it illegal.
Forget about the Hektish part for a moment. What is Hedjot Midas? What is that? Let's say according to the Rav Yoh. According to the Rav Yoh, what do you mean Hedjot Midas? I mean the guy's Moche, Merosh, Kofenos on Midas No. But that's what they're one of the things they're objecting to the Rav Yoh. The answer is it's a very fascinating thing. You have it? Yeah, go ahead. What's he saying? That's different?
That it's as if you're so stipulated, you stipulated with him that you pay schar.
That he'll pay?
Yeah.
Meaning, according to the Rajba, that's the Rajba you're reading, right?
Yeah.
Meaning the Rajba says that the pshat in the Gemara is not that the Balabayas is Moche. And that changes Zenden of Lochaser into a Chiyuv. Which is the way Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, that whole group of Rishonim, understand it. It's that the... In Me'ilah, this is also fascinating from a Me'ilah point of view, meaning... The majority of Rishonim, whether in the Gemara, is that the Rabbona Shel Olam, meaning the Torah, the Shechina, you know, is Moche. Where did the Shechina be Moche? All of a sudden, they heard a bas kol. The guy was trying to build, use the. They heard a bas kol. Joey, they heard a bas kol. So what does it mean? Where's the Shechina tell you this?
It's not even a mafurash lav.
What?
It's not even a mafurash lav. It's not even a mafurash lav.
Well, no, I think the answer is the din of Me'ila tells you that. What do you mean not a mafurash lav? Because it tells you what happens.
It's
and not. Okay, right. But I'm saying either way, the point is that you're not allowed to do it. Right. The answer is the Gilu. It is the Gilu Shechina, but it's not a new Gilu Shechina every time somebody wants to use a. Or it's not a separate Gilu Shechina. It's the. Your Ha'ara is a good Ha'ara as it happens. But either way, the point is that it's the Iser and the Onesh of Me'ila. That's the Gilu Shechina. Correct? And the Rajba is saying that. And the Rajba is not denying that. What he's saying, well, that wouldn't make a difference for Zenon of Zelo Kasser. Because it's still lo chaser. So the kpeda of the, this is fascinating, the kpeda of the bailam don't matter. But what is going on is that if the Torah says that there's an Isur Me'ila, says the Rajba, that means that when somebody is Moel, implicitly he accepts upon himself the Din Torah. I mean, he knows that he's, and therefore he, you know, kind of accepts that he's going to have to pay. Right? There's tashlumen for Me'ila. So it's not the Rabbona Shel Olam or the Shechina saying no. It's the Moel saying, I know. Or I agree. Right? Correct? That's what the Rajma says. So according to that, yeah.
Doesn't Tosfos here give like another alternative which would work for the
what do you mean?
Rabbi? Isn't Tosfos here saying essentially like basically what Rebbe
Das Shechina Ika, right?
Rebbe's kasha on the Havamina of the Gemara here is what's the comparison between Me'ila in this case of Zenena? I thought that was Tosfos saying yeah that's the Meskan of the Gemara that what the Gemara means by Kehedu Midas that means just like no there's a din of Me'ila which is Shalayena Adam below Me'ila.
Well, that might answer it, Lamaskana. But I'm saying Tosa still understands, probably.
He says
that
no.
He doesn't disagree that it's Das Shechina.
No, he says we don't really mean. He says the Hedya Das doesn't really mean Das. Like, he says we're not really meaning.
The Din is the Das. I think that's what he said. No?
I thought he was just saying Klomer, it's just Nira Ke Hedya Das, Klomer, the Das Shechina Yika, Shaloya, and Adam Glomila. I thought he was just saying all we mean here is that there's a Din.
Right, I'm saying, so just to answer one, I mean, what would Tosa say is the Hedyot Midas? What happens in Hedyot Midas?
So I think what he means is just that.
I thought he would hold that kind of parents.
There's a knowledge that there's this Isser.
But I'm saying there's no Isser in. Forget about Hektish. I'm telling you, Hedyot Midas. What's Hedyot Midas?
So that's what he's saying. He's lobbed off in Hedyot Midas and saying that that means.
Right,
that
because it isn't.
No,
it could be coming to address that question. I'm not denying that. What I am saying is that Tosas is, and most Rishonim's emphasis is on the Bala Bayis. That's the Gizbar or the Rabbona Shel Olam, you know, in Me'ilah. And it's the Bala Bayis of the Chatzer.
I thought he was just saying something more fundamental, which is that Me'ilah fundamentally should not be compared.
Okay, that could be, but you still need to explain what. Everybody in the Gemara has to say that a Hedyot Midas. The case of Hedyot Midas, whatever that is, seems to be Chayiv Zenene Vezelo Chaser. Right? That seems implicit in the Gemara. Again, Joey wanted to make it implicit just from the words Shalom Midas. Oh, but if it was Midas, right? You could say the other way, you could say Shalom Midas means, as opposed to getting permission. Right? So I'm not so sure about that. But here, the Gemara does seem to be equating Hektish Shalom Midas. Again, what I agree with you, Tosa is saying, it's not like Hashchina, you know, Mocha. That's the din of Mi'ilah. And that's why maybe you don't even need the exact comparison in terms of like the Gzela, the Hana. We'll get back to that. 100%. What I'm more concerned with at the moment, is not the Mi'ilah side of it, but the Mi'ilah side which produces, you know, this new piece of information that we never saw before in the Gemara, and that is that Hedyot Midas is Chayiv in Zeneneh, is a Lo Chaser.
But he seems to just be Lavdafking that.
But I don't think he's Lavdafking that.
Because they're saying that's not really what we mean even by Hedyot Midas. We're not referring to that case.
So what is that? What do the words mean? What is it in the Gemara? How do you read it? It's got to refer to something. So I'm saying.
I thought he was just saying that.
I thought he just sort of disturbed by don't. It's still not comparable because one maybe is Gzela, one is Hana, one is you know, fine. But either way, there's no. I mean, I don't think there's any way out of reading the Gemara that Hedyot Midas, whatever that means, is Chayiv for Zenin of the Lachaser. I don't think so. So again, most Rishonim are going to tell you because that means that if there's a Mecha, then you're Chayiv. And then there's a group of Rishonim that are saying, well, it's not Kofin also, but you're not Chayiv for the Mecha. And then there's Rav Yoh saying, by the way, it's Kofin. So, you know, that's certainly not what's happening. So what does it mean? So the Rajba says it means that the other fellow is implicitly signing on. I know I'm using this thing from the Mikdash. I know I'm going to have to pay Me'ilah money for that. I'm ready to do so. Not the Rabbeinu Shalom saying you can't. It's him saying, I'll pay the consequences. So here too, it's like he's saying, I'll pay the consequences. I'll live in here one night. I didn't ask, but I'm kind of signing on. I'm willing to pay. That's what I think. Okay. So that is a very, very, these are very important arguments. So having said that, let's talk about the Gila Daito. In a way, this is kind of like a Gila Daito, you know, situation. So as we discussed already, right, Tosas holds that a Gila Daito, because again, you have the Mecha'a of the Balabayas. Does that matter? So that's a I'm sorry, we're just coming off of that. That's a Machlokas HaRishon. Legabe Tashlumin. Because it's still Zenen of Zelokhasar. Presumably. Yeah.
You're actually saying, though, that the chiyuv of mana would be being a schayiv himself to pay.
Say that again.
So like being a din of hana.
Say one more
time. The Rashba here was saying it's hedyot midas, masni moshal ostar. So is that his way of saying the machayiv here would be like he's being?
Well, there is no chaser.
But it sounds like he's just willing. It's like a schayiv. It's like he's agreeing to pay a certain sum. And that's what makes him have to pay.
I mean, is it, you're asking, is this just a, like, an implicit eschaibus?
Right.
Or is it more like a Gila Daito?
Well, versus, or just even that.
Kabi Yitzchak Chayim. What?
I don't. Have we encountered anybody who said you have to pay in Zen and whatever for his chayvus?
Well, if you are mischayev to pay, then for sure you should have to pay.
But it sounds like it's stipulated. It's contingent upon his willingness to pay.
No, even if you hold Zen, now say like this: if you hold Zen Nene Vizelo Chaser as Potter, but the guy's Mischayev, you could say, what? So that it's not a Mischayev as Patos.
No.
Let's say they'll save the following case. I'm glad you mentioned. Let's just talk about the following case. Let's say he has the Mischayev as Patos.
Okay.
Does that matter? In other words, the answer is that. That's a case in the Gemara. Right? Let's say you think that Reuven, let's say you rent from Reuven thinking it's his property, and it turns out it's not his property, it's Shimon's property. So are you obligated to pay? And Shimon is posture is lo kaima le'agra, right? So the Gemara says in that case that you are potter to pay. Even if you gave the money, you get the money back. This is the big question that Rishonim raised against the view of Bali Tosas. Because Bali Tosas hold here on Chaf Amud Beis, as we said, this is Tosas Dir Masal Taima, getting back to what we talked about last time, Yeshomer Shaini Amad Nikaf the Goli Adaiti Denichale Bahotza, and that's also Tosas of Al-Basra Hayam and Aleph, that if there's Gilui Das Mitzad the Nikaf, meaning the door, right, that he's willing to pay, that he was, you know, nocha, sadaita, you know, l'shalem. So the Bali Tosas are of the opinion that that is mechayev, even in the case of zenene, zeh lo chaser. Correct? That's what they say. And there's a bunch of Rishonim that agree with them. So, yeah. So the question is, and again, there are those who disagree as well. Who disagrees? For sure, in the Achronim, in the Poskim, I think we already mentioned, the Marshal says, I just don't understand. Marshal says, I just don't understand why Gilui Das has any impact on Zenene, you know, Vizelo Chaser. But if you think Zenene Vizelo Chaser is Potur, right, then why does Gilui Das change the equation? Right? And yet the Bali Tosas and a bunch of places and some other Rishonim too are of the opinion that that it does make a difference. Oh, okay. So that tells us in a bunch of places. Yom Shlomo says no. The Marsha in the back here, Madura Basra, I think it says, says this is not Aliba de Hilchasa. Why? Because of the case that I just mentioned. He says, no, Tosis only means this according to, anybody have that? To Rav Yossi, and the Sugya, because Rav Yossi is Mechalik between, you know, if the Nikaf is Magdir, the fourth wall, or the Makif is. So if it's only the Nikaf, that sounds like Gilui Milsa's Koveya. But we Paskin, Bein Makif, Bein Nikaf. Anybody have that in the back? Marsha? So he says, no, Tosas doesn't mean this lahalacha. But what really bothers him, it bothered the Rama, right, in the Nebuka Yosef again. It's a packed piece of the Nebuka Yosef. That is the Gemara that I just mentioned, the Tos. right? Second. Oh, Kosovo Rama. This is Tesla Medal from the Dap Arif. Anybody have the Marsha? Yeah? You don't have it there? They don't have the. Oh. I think I saw it in the back. Okay, I'll read the Rama. The Rama says, when the Gemara keeps saying, oh, you have a stira, and the Gemara says, oh, right, on Chafalef Amid Aleph. Correct? So the Rama says, because of Rama, if there's no chaser, it's gavi bailim. Afagav the nachas ze adaita lemesav igra leinish achrina. Right? Lo mechayev velo midi. The chihecha de gavi maskir makatos of lo mechayev lemesav le midi. Right? So let's say what happens is, in other words, he was nachis adaita to give, let's say he made a commitment, right, to give, like we were talking about, that's how we got into this, right, to pay. But he made a mistake, or he thought that the real Bailim was Reuven, and really the Bailim is Shimon. So the Rama says, right, that it's a mekachtos, v'lo mechayiv v'lemesiv l'midi. Oh, so this I think is the Raya. No one found the Marsha? In the back, in the Madura Basra? I don't know, I probably didn't. Did I put on the Mar Makomos or I didn't? The Numug Yosef for sure is on the Mar Makomos. Here. Like in the. Second. I think he's mistayeg from the whole view of Tosas here. Second. I'm not finding it. That's the Marsha. In the back, they have it more. Okay, if not, it doesn't make a difference, by the way. Oh, Madur Basra, here it is. And they now print everything in different. What? It is in the back?
Yeah, it's in the
Oh, and they also, thing? I think I have it here. One second. Yeah, go ahead. You have it? What?
I forgot the Yossi part. Rabbanan
Rabbanan Rabbanan. So we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi. And therefore we don't paskin that Gili Milsom matters, works, right? Correct. So this is a very major debate. Again, why the Marshal sounds like he's right. Why should Gili Milsa matter? So here's where I was making my suggestion, and that is that maybe the Baal's Mecha'a, the way the Baal Tosas and Tosar Ben Peretz understand, and the Gili Milsa, it could be Mechalik still, the Gili Milsa of the Nana. Right, these are not factors that have anything to do with Kofar Nosam Midas Sdom. Right, they don't. Well, I mean, the Baal's, of course, is, but what they have to do with is giving greater stature and concreteness. I have to stop over a minute to the hana. Right, this goes to the what I call the third and fourth pshatim. Now, the first two pshatim were the first two perspectives, where the question of zenen of the lo chaser is really kind of a. The assumption really is that you should be chayiv and but. The but is an implicit mechila, the but is an expanded view of kofinos on midas stom, or maybe a more moderate view of midas stom, you know, to work within the guidelines, not as far as the Rav Yoh, but the guidelines of the other Rishonim. Pnei Yehoshua famously thinks that this is a din of kofinos on midas stom. He just doesn't think you have to take it as far as the Rav Yoh, right, and apply it even in situations where the guy is mocha. Because right, once he's mocha, then he's megaladas, that this is something that matters, you know, to him. It's if his posture is one of it being inconsequential, so then, you know, to be arbitrary and to insist on his bilus, that kind of constitutes kofinoso ambidastom. But either way, those perspectives all assume that the wherewithal, the basis for a chiv is there. Mini mamoni gabach, or something else. And the answer is but, right? And therefore, the chaser or the equivalence of chaser, like we have a bunch of cases where zenenev, zelo chaser, is going to be chayiv, even though there's no chaser, because, you know, in all those cases, there is kpeda, there's reason for kpeda, there's no reason to apply kofinos on bidastom, etc. But the other perspective is that the reason that zenenev, zelo chaser, is patur is because fundamentally you don't have the basis for chiyuv. Now the biggest reason why you might not have the basis for chiyuv is because zen nene is not a mechayiv b'fnei atzmo ever. It's only ever a mitzarev, right? Or maybe in certain areas of halacha it's a mechayiv b'fnei atzmo, like chalav and barayos, like we discussed the other day, right? But per se, it's not mamoni gabach. It's not mamon. You know, and it never can be mamon per se. But if you have zenen, if it's a chaser, why are you chayiv then? The answer is you're chayiv because of the chaser. I mean, the real mechayiv is that nenez mitzarif you or expands, sometimes mitzarif, this is very important, sometimes expands, hagdaros, this is a dangerous thing to say, but it may be true, right, to expand the chaser, whether the chaser is mazik, like we were suggesting when all this began, in the Mishnah Yud Tesemet base, like Shein V'Regel, right, legabe, the shear of nene, we rehabilitate Shein, or mazik, if not Shein, generic mazik or whatever it is, right? And so too, maybe sometimes we expand gezel, maybe even in karka, maybe in avadim, maybe without a physical kinyan. We expand skiris poalim without a contract, you know, with some other discrepancies, right? All of these dinim are expansions where the nene, right, redefines or refines the hagdaros of the chaser. But then everything, or the key ingredient, is the chaser. Okay? The key ingredient is going to be the chaser, and the shiur is going to be the chaser. I mean, if there's chaser muat and hana harbe, then you're going to go with the Rishonim, the minority view, but again, the Rama, a couple of others, who think that you pay the shiur of the hana. Because the nene is just a marchiv or a mitzarev. Now, how far do you go with that? I mean, it's hard to know. Like, can it overcome karkin and exalas, or vanamin and exalim? Can it overcome? What can it overcome? Can it overcome grumma? Or can it turn a grumma into a garmi because of the hana factor? That's an interesting question. Maybe that's part of the question. We'll have to leave it for next time to finish up. Part of the question of zeh chaser v'zeh lo nene, and what its status is. Again, if you hold chaser v'zelo nene is potter because of grub, then all of a sudden, when you put hana into the mix, did that change? Right. The answer is either because the mechayiv is the hana, right? right? And therefore, what you need from the chaser is less. Or if you still want to insist that the mechayev is the chaser, so what you're saying is yeah, because the hano expanded it. But how far can it expand it? Like what powers does it have to defy by expanding? You know, it's one thing to be mitzarev. Okay, so that's one whole approach. And if you take that approach, you're certainly mostly going to be zeroing in on the chaser and seeing the hana as a mechanism. And that's going to affect also, you know, how you define chaser. Again, what level of chaser is rehabilitatable, as we've been discussing. The other way, I guess this is 2A and 2B, or I can say 2 and 3, is no, this is all about Mahon Ligabach. It's all about the Hana. But if it's all about the Hana, so why isn't Zenen Evzela Chaser Kayev? Right? If it isn't for some extraneous reason. So here's what I was suggesting the other day, and that is that because there are two potential weaknesses in the Hana. One is that the Hana isn't automatically a Chepsa Shel Mamon, or a Chepsa Shel Erech, a legal fair, or a Kalos. You have to sometimes make it that. Maybe some are and some are not. Right? But certainly some need to be turned into that. And, or the Tziruf to the Mahan. So then the Chaser, in its own right, doesn't do anything. But the Chaser gives concreteness and gives Tziruf to the Nen. But if that's the case, then you don't always need Chaser. Maybe you can get that through Achshavei. Who's Achshavei? Maybe, certainly, the Achshavei of the Nene, even the Achshavei of the Mahana, who's unhappy. Maybe. Hard to know. Maybe. And what about a Chaser, which is, again, we already talked about, let's say the Chaser doesn't come directly from the Nene, but there is Chaser that produces this Nene, that's a Tozen Baba Kama. The difference between Hanas HaGuf and Hanas Mama, Tozen Baba Kama. And what about a Chaser which is less than a Pruta? That's Tosin Ksuvis, 2 days in Tosin Ksuvis, Lamed Beis. Again, Tosis here talks about Tochav, right? The second, was it here? Where is it? The top one. Oh, the same one, yeah. We talked about Ksuvis Lamed Beis. Tosis is troubled about, you know, whether it's considered to be Chaser. Like, what is this chaser depend on the moment of the nene, or chaser depends on the status of the object before this process began? Like, when it's in your mouth, you're chewing on it, so it's, you know, it's worth less. So Tosin Ksuvas has a possibility. It doesn't matter. Even less than a pruta is enough of a chaser. But it can't be enough of a chaser if the mechayiv is the chaser. Just like if the mechayiv is the chaser, you can't be chayiv the higher value of the nene. But if the chaser is concretizing the nana, or mitzarifing the nana, right, then it's an open question what level, just like we're talking about, what about grama? Right? What about grama being transformed by the hana, but also what about grama being a chaser? Apparently grama is a chaser, even according to Bali Tosis, is enough to transform the nana. Unless it's, again, just the reason why it's not kofinoso Amidastom or an implicit mechila, then you really need very little. Okay, but this question also, what constitutes, that does chaser depend on the moment of the nana, the process of the nana, a pruta, less than a pruta? All these questions, does chaser depend on the circumstance that we're in terms of kaimela agra more specifically, or generally kaimela agra? Again, the Rishonim go out of the way to say, like the Mugi Yosef, again, quotes the view, that it's considered lo kai mila agra, even if generally he rents it out, but right now he's not renting it out. Or vice versa. The Hagdara of Chaser depends on the particular case, if there is a change from the regular pattern. That seems like a davar pasha. If we're talking about kepeda or midas dom, or something of that sort, or even mechayev of chaser, that seems like such a davar pasha. I don't even know why you need to say that. Could anybody argue with that? But if the chaser, right, is a factor in concretizing the nene, then it plays a more formal role. Is it possible, l'kula and l'chumra, that it doesn't depend on the individual subjective case, but it depends more broadly on whether for this person it's kaima l'agra? Such you need to say it. Maybe somebody could argue with it. Again, same with the status of the object. At the second of that, your nana, why would we care? Right? If this nene, or let's say again, does it depend on the gavra whose nene being mechaser? Right, they all have this case. The Mordechai has this case that he talks about where some government official, right, grabs somebody's property, not dina de machus adina, but dina de malka dina, which doesn't work. So he grabs somebody's property, and he right, and he gives it to the other fellow, or he allows the other fellow, or he rents the other fellow. The question is, you have there? Was it Yud Zion? Go ahead. So what is that? Just explain.
There's a case of a Jew who ran away from the city, and then the non-Jew or whoever was in charge of the city took it and gave it to another Jew. And then the one who ran away, the one who got kicked out of his house, wanted to get the money from the Jew who lived there.
Right. So he... The Jew wasn't mechaser him.
Yeah.
The non-Jew was mechaser him. So there's chaser in the case, but the chaser doesn't come from the nene. So that seems to be a debate in the poskim, Shulchan Aruch, that seems to be a debate among the poskim in that case of the Mordechai. So all I'm trying to say is in all these cases, how you define hana, chaser, whether you can substitute chaser for other things, it all seems to reflect these different perspectives, these four, if you will, perspectives on why it is that Zenon of the Chaser is generally Patur, why Zenon of the Lo Chaser is generally Patur, why the Chaser makes a difference, and how that plays out. Okay, I'm going to have to stop because we have a Chabur in like a minute. So Thursday, what I want to finish up, I want to talk about the Mila case a little more. And I want to talk about some of the other cases. We still have to talk more about Chaser v'lo Nene, Machlokas Rishon, the Rosh, and the Rama, and the Mukhe Yosef, and the Tosas, that whole discussion. And in the postgame, if you can look it up in Shulchan Aruch. I want to talk about, again, that other parallel to the discrepancy between the Chisaron Purta and the Hana Meruba, and whether there's any difference between Karka Metaltalin. A little bit about the Sugya and Sadi Zion. Whatever we can get in, we'll try to get it. Okay? So, Thursday. If I can make it early, I'll let you know. But as it stands now, probably 11. But we'll try to, we'll do what we can. What's that? If we could, that would be great. Could we? What? I'm sure they can wait 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Because they probably doubt it. So if we can get in, that'd be great.
Okay. It's going to be annoying.
Yeah, so I'm going to.